There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. 251-343-0106. Get you through for a phone call or a text, 251-343-0106. And continuing to get y'all's updates like we've been doing all these years around the station. It's very interesting because I think most of us vote at the same time of day. Yeah, there's. I mean, obviously there are exceptions, but eventually you're going to vote before work or at your lunch hour or after work, and you do a great job on the text line of saying, okay, I went in today, and it was busier than normal. It was about normal. It wasn't as busy as normal, you know, and give me an idea of what the count was because you can see how many people have voted, and it's just our way of unscientifically polling early what the turnout's looking like for Mobile and Baldwin County and elsewhere. This man right here would be desperate for that kind of information, not even having to pay for that polling that I do on the text line. He's a boss man at Alabama Daily News. Also, you watch him on Capital Journal, where he is the host, and he is probably... How jealous are you of my crowdsourced polling here on turnout?
Pretty jealous. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's better than the old days of just saying on Twitter, hey, what are you hearing?
Yeah. Yeah, what's up? Yeah, over the years, it's been really good for us, Todd, because, you know, I know it's not scientific. I don't pretend any of that. But, you know, most people go vote at the same time of day, right? So you remember the last time you're there, like, man, it was, you know, I stood in line last time, or I just breezed in. And it's apples to apples kind of comparison.
Yeah, and I mean, I always, that's what I'm looking for. I mean, I'm going to vote. I know who I'm voting for. But, like, I'm trying to figure out, okay, is it busy? I always take a look at the tabulation machines to see what the numbers are. And it's, mm-hmm. like I said, it's not like I have a visual memory of what it was last time. But you can kind of get a sense of what it's like. But no, you're exactly right about Mobile and Baldwin County. And I mean, I wrote about that today because of the congressional change. You know, everybody's wondering if somehow the turnout's going to be down. And I'm convinced just by listening to all of the ads I just heard on the break that maybe it won't be, because there's so many local races and legislative races. But, you know, when a wrench got thrown into this election with the Supreme Court and the special session and these new districts, I wondered, okay, everybody knew that Mobile and Baldwin was going to blow it out in terms of turnout compared to the rest of the state this election. Mm-hmm. And everybody's wondering, okay, now that that district is essentially meaningless, or that vote is essentially meaningless, unless the court somehow says otherwise, would it impact turnout, especially for other races? You know, because there are a few candidates that have, like, real strongholds in Mobile. I mean, I pointed out that Barry Moore, running for Senate, he's the front runner, his strongest area is Mobile, right? And so if somehow Mobile and Baldwin were low performing or, you know, underperforming, mm-hmm. then that could impact his overall numbers. And same thing with some other candidates. But, I mean, you tell me, do you think it's going to be about normal, or is the congressional impact going to
No, I don't think it is. And I think it's going to be about normal. You know, the congressional impact, too, is there a case you can find out there if somebody confused? But several of us here on the station have been kind of making fun of that, too, because there's so many headlines. People are confused. And I and of course, this is a high-graded audience that listens to the station, but none of them are confused. They're like, okay, well, we're still voting for all the other things, and we're going to... And by the way, speaking of great polling, don't you know the candidates want us to vote in the AL1 and AL2 stuff? Because what a way to judge how you did. I mean, that's a poll right there.
Oh, absolutely. And that shows you, you know, is your message working and all that? And I mean... especially for it down there, Jerry Carl.
Mm-hmm. Don't you know he's going to be looking at that, and others are going to be studying that?
Absolutely. I mean, if somehow he does not perform well today, then that could invite mm-hmm. somebody else to jump in that race. And I mean, I know people are already thinking about it, but I mean, that really could. I mean, is it an accurate barometer? I don't know, but you especially want to look at. I mean, you can kind of take out the Wiregrass and all that, but if you just look at those counties, yeah, there's going to be not just Jerry Carl, but a lot of people looking at that to see, you know, is there an opening there? But I've said before, I mean, Jerry Carl's the biggest winner in this whole, redistricting. We can't call it redistricting. The shift, if you will, to revert back to an old map, because that Wiregrass Mobile district that really was always weird.
Yes.
Basically will be no more. And so he doesn't have to once again worry about somebody from the Wiregrass coming in, you know, just like what was happening again.
Okay. And now I want to come back to stuff going on today, but can we go in our future machine and go to Friday? You know, there's a lot of talk about what the judges are going to do on this. I don't know. I mean, do you think there's going to be something to turn around what was just done in the special session?
Well, I mean, I'll say that I've been pretty bad at predicting stuff this whole time, so I don't know. And Chris Pringle made the great point on the show the other day, because we had the same kind of conversation about what the Supreme Court was going to do. And he's like, look, the court does what it does. We can't ever really predict stuff. But in this case, I would really be surprised if they veered from what the Supreme Court basically spelled out. The Supreme Court in its Alabama ruling, you know, this is after Calais, but in its Alabama ruling, it rescinded the orders that we were mandated to use mm-hmm. those maps. So those orders are no more. Now, it did remand the case back to the district court. That's just process. That's the way it's supposed to do. I mean, I guess they could have written it its own order, but that would be really uncalled for and unnecessary. So this is the way it's supposed to work. You know, revert it back to the remand it back to the court of jurisdiction, ask them to rule again based on the fact that there is new jurisprudence as it comes to districts and how to draw them from the Calais case. So I mean, with those instructions to me pretty clear, I would be really surprised if the Northern District did something to, you know, beyond that. I mean, they would have to find a different reason, right? They couldn't base it on, I mean, the court has been pretty clear about that. So I would be surprised. But, I mean, yeah. Sean, throughout this process, I've been surprised a couple of times.
Okay. But so we'll watch that. With that being said, I feel like they're not going to change it on Friday either. But so let's go with that idea that it stays like this. So we talked about AL1. And two, do you think you have an effect where there'd be another? I mean, you've got some bigger players that are, you know, chosen to be in AL2, and Marquez being at the top of that. Do you think anybody's watching that has not announced for two that could get in two, or do you think there's no room there?
There could be some. The new district puts Montgomery back into play for two, and so that was kind of the big difference. And it's a lot more like the old District 2 than currently exists, in that Montgomery is a huge share of the vote, and there's also some in Elmore County. There's not quite the northern influence that there was in the district that I worked in, where you had both Autauga and Elmore, which are, I mean, basically that would like equate Baldwin.
Okay.
So like suburban, you know, very Republican rich votes, but like there's still quite a bit of Elmore, and so but there's just a lot in Montgomery. So somebody based in Montgomery could run, And so think about this. Think about a Steve Marshall. If he does not make the runoff in the Senate race, which who knows, but, you know, could he jump in the race? I mean, he could. I don't know if he has, if he really wants to, but
that's interesting.
He's got federal money right now. I mean, he's already running a federal race, so he could easily do that. I think it would be tough. That would be one heck of a race. But, yeah, and others could be thinking about it. I do think Marks has a head start. And, I mean, you saw him, I mean, before the governor even called the special election, he was out there saying, I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Marks has a leg up. But you could see some folks, especially now that Montgomery's back in the mix.
Okay, and with that being said, let's look at two others that are not so much in our wheelhouse down here. The 7th, we can talk about Terry Sewell. I don't think there's going to be an issue. But what about the 6th and Gary Palmer here? Is there any danger to that redraw?
Yeah, I think so. For Palmer, two things. The district that will be, I mean, it's so hard to talk about this. What we're going to vote for in August.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a slight change in Birmingham, but it draws back in former state representative Paul DeMarco. You got to think back to 2014. DeMarco lost to Palmer in that election. They ran for Congress back in 2014. It was pretty close, but Palmer won. But Palmer also ran on this, you know, term limits pledge, which he's basically two terms over the limit now on his own term limit. And so if DeMarco really wanted to make a run for it, he probably could. But also, and we're hearing that he could be a candidate. But also, you know, again, if somebody doesn't make the runoff, think if a Jared Hudson doesn't make the runoff. You know, he's got a real base there in Birmingham. He'd be a real dangerous candidate there. Think about Jay Mitchell running for Attorney General. Let's say he doesn't make the runoff, or Pamela Casey doesn't make the runoff. They could easily be candidates for that district if they feel like Gary Palmer is vulnerable, which he just takes the right candidate to make an incumbent like that vulnerable, especially with a term limit issue like that.
Yeah, and explain to everybody too. You talked about the Steve Marshall could throw in for after this race if he doesn't win. What is the rule? Because I mean, it was explained to me that this is not, because I was talking about it when it came to, you and I talked about it actually before, about federal campaign contribution rules, and that they see this as a new election, so it's a reset. What about somebody? So if somebody's running today and they don't make it, or maybe somebody who gets elected today in the primary, to get win the primary, could they get in? What are the rules to who can get in this the special election, whatever we call it? Yeah, special right. Election coming up in August. Like, what are the rules?
It's all about qualifying, and so the parties are in charge of who qualifies for their primaries. And so the Alabama Republican Party put out a letter last week saying, if you win your primary, or if you're in a runoff, make it into the runoff, so you're basically on the ballot, not counting the congressional districts, right? We're just talking about any other race. Then yeah, you can't also run for these new congressional districts. You can't be on the ballot twice, basically. But if you did, you would just have to disqualify yourself for whatever you won or whatever runoff you were in. So they're not going to qualify you for that race.
Gotcha.
Unless you remove yourself from that qualification for that primary. But if you lose, if you don't make the runoff, you're wide open. You can do anything you want, and qualifying ends on Friday. Right. So it's a real short turnaround. Any candidates that are interested need to make up their minds. But it also brings up something interesting, because, you know, this special election is going to be on August 11th. I mean, can you think of a more just kind of down time in terms of folks not paying attention?
Well, it's just August, like, municipal cycle. We just had in the off-year municipal cycle, right? It's the people are like, what, we're voting in August? You know, municipal in August, I think it was the 25th or something like that.
A lot of people take vacations in August. I mean, so it's going to be a low turnout affair, because it's also not a statewide election. And people just don't really get up for Congress the same way as every other, you know, governor or Senate, whatever. And so that it likely to be a low turnout affair makes it sometimes easier for a challenger to rise up and you know, beat an incumbent. So it's a real it will be a real temptation depending on what happens tonight.
Okay. In the meantime, y'all get signed up for the email. It's going to be a lot to talk about the remainder of the week. If they want to get signed up, how do they do it?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. You can enter your name and your email right there on the homepage, and you'll be on the list. And yeah, I'll be drinking my coffee tomorrow morning, man. It's going to be a long night.
Okay, and we'll probably I'll probably hit you up on Twitter tonight just to see what's up. Yeah, you know, what you're hearing.
I'll be in Birmingham, but yeah, do it.
All right, good stuff, Todd. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there goes Todd Stacey. We're coming right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 128 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hey, by the way, too, check us out, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, which also, as a side note, make sure to vote for the Facebook in the nappies. So Leanna always has great stuff going on the Facebook page and your chance to say thank you. But when you're in the Nappy Awards for the favorite Facebook page, check out FM Talk 106.5. But yeah, right now I'm watching some video that she and her husband did, drone video inside the Regions Arena build. This is really cool. They had a good work here. I mean, from the inside, kind of see the build and the girders and all that stuff. That's awesome. This is best because I have not been down there to walk around and through. You can go see this video. It's maybe one down from the top of the stack at our Facebook page. Watch the drone fly through the build down there. That's really cool. Good job, y'all. Check that out. And what you do, make sure to remind yourself to vote in the nappies. Also, I'll take your votes in the media section for this station and for shows, and I love the fact that we're competing against each other. There's several categories, more than that maybe. There are multiple FM Talk 106.5 shows competing against each other in it. That's good. I like that. All right, speaking of competition, of course, today is primary election day, and people are still getting info in from their polling places here. Yeah, this is at St. Pius. It's been working at St. Pius, steady day so far. Judy's saying just leaving SPX. So that is going to be St. Pius as well. 40, I think, yeah, for me, that means St. Pius. And 472 out of 5,090 have voted. Okay. The interesting. So 472 out of 5,090 possible have voted. Keep them coming. 251-343-0106. What are you seeing at your polling place?
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by Jeff and the crew at Stone Arms. You've been thinking about getting that silencer, suppressor, can, whatever you want to call it. It's now easier and less expensive than ever, and I would say faster as well. So when the big, beautiful bill went through, the $200 tax stamp fee has been eliminated. You still have to go through the process of getting the tax stamp, but there's no cost to it. So you save $200 there. And to get this done, I did this 2 years ago with Jeff and the crew. It is a super fast process. He says he'll get you in and out in about 30 minutes. I think it took me like 20. There's a computer they have in there And you make sure you put all the information in the right way. It does your fingerprints there, the picture, the whole nine yards, and then sends everything off to the ATF, all packaged together. And he says here, update, average approval time wait is 2 weeks or sooner, even though he told me personally, a lot of people are getting it done in 2 days out there. So you quit dreaming about it and get it done. And lucky for all of us, a great selection of suppressors in stock at Stone Arms. Plus, new and used firearms, accessories galore. I mean, if you're looking for, I mean, it really is. I mean, if you're looking for stuff for your weapons, accessories for them, he's got it. Parts to fixings, he's got it. And if they don't, they'll get it for you. Check them out in person. See what I've been talking about all this time. They're on Airport Boulevard, about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport on the south side there. Online, stonearmsinc.com, and make sure to check them out on Facebook, Stone Arms Inc. Right, to the text line here. Let me get to that. A couple other things, yeah, on the list. I do want to remind you again, I know I talked about it at the beginning of the show, but I think this is interesting. This exhibit coming here to Battleship Memorial Park. It's the Alabama Poppy Project. And it's been in the past, it's been up in Prattville, but it's now going to be the thousands of these ceramic poppies are going to be displayed here at Battleship Memorial Park starting on Friday and going through Tuesday. So that's a pretty special thing going on. All right. To the text line here, let me catch up. All right. Let's see. Bonnie said, J.E. Turner, 745, walked right up to the ID verification, walked right up to receive ballot. Five others voting with me in the room. Total time on site was 5 minutes, give or take. All right, so that's fast. Is that, Bonnie, is that usually the time of day you vote? And is that, you know, that's one thing. I mean, can you compare it to last time? Not for municipal, but you're for a congressional cycle. Let's see. Backstrap Stacker said 500 voters so far at E.R. Dixon. Slow, slow, slow. That's interesting. That's a place I used to vote. That was my, yeah, I voted there for a long time. I voted Museum of Art and then at E.R. Dixon. But now I am voting out west. All right. My man Reynolds, what's up? Said St. Pius was pretty full when I drove by earlier. I'll let you know how it looks when I go vote after work. The Cardinals are go Cardinals, right? St. Pius represented on these texts coming in. Let's see. Unnamed texter said, no more black athletes for Alabama or Auburn, all HBCU, out of state, etc. We're talking about this. That this is, and we haven't gotten like word from the people that it actually affects yet. But the story April Marie was talking about and is up a couple places. I bet you Feinbaum talks about it coming up in less than half an hour. Says NAACP and I guess now Congressional Black Caucus calling on black athletes and fans to boycott the athletic programs of public universities in states that are taking steps that the nation's oldest civil rights groups say are restricting black voting rights. So this they launched this, I guess, today. It's called Out of Bounds, a story from the Associated Press. Launched today, the Out of Bounds campaign urges prospective black athletes, their family, alumni, and fans to, quote, withhold athletic and financial support, end quote, from major public universities in states that, quote, have moved to limit, weaken, or erase black voting representation, end quote. If black athletes participate in the boycott, it could deplete the rosters for powerhouse football and basketball programs across the Southeastern Conference and the Atlantic Coast Conference. I will say this. Who gets hurt here? The athletes. I mean, I get the idea here is you're going to put pressure on these schools. Therefore, it's going to put pressure on the legislatures in those states. Who I see getting hurt here are the kids in here. I really do. And I mean, are people going to have to be like, oh, I'm boycotting it. Man, I rode by your house the other day, and it sure looked like you had the game on. And what happens if the game has a, you know, okay, let's say start the season, right? For a lot of SEC teams, they'll start with some other, you know, other conference. You only watch half the game or something. I have to watch this happen. I have to watch what's going on. I mean, it's just kind of launching today, but does this become the talker for the rest of the week? Maybe. Philip, two things. Said Todd just referred to Twitter as the old days. I guess just get me a coffin for my birthday. Well, Philip, I'm much older than you. Think about how I feel. And also, he said, also there's 18-wheeler flipped over in the ditch on the east side of the Africatown Bridge. Did everybody look okay? Is it? That's scary. I hope everybody's okay there. Jim in Georgetown said, hey, Sean, checking in from the Georgetown Command Post, 1330 hours. The numbers at this point are a little over 400 or about average for the thriving community. The ID lady told me it is a better turnout than usual. Okay, that's interesting. So better turnout in Georgetown. Some people saying slow. E.R. Dixon, I think Backstrap Stacker said, sounds like St. Pius about normal. Okay, and say Baldwin County checks in, said, yeah, this is what's interesting. It's why I love hearing from you, because some people are telling me it's busier than normal. Some people say, man, it's dead here. So, and just all I could do is hope you compare it with, if you vote that time of day, last time you were there, how's, do you remember what it looked like? Let's see. Jerry said we could probably go back to playing at Legion Field if the boycott holds up. Ben, you just, if this comes through, if this boycott, it's going to be, this is, I'm not dense. I understand the idea of using this as a leverage, right? Using this as leverage to try to get something for state legislators, legislatures to change back voting districts. I see what the attempt is, but I look at this and the only people who can get hurt here are the college athletes. They only have so many years before they're like Philip and they're old, right? I don't know that this goes, does this go anywhere? Does this really make a, I mean, going in, think about this. I mean, we're looking at, I know it seems like it's a long way away. It's May and I'm talking about football, but it really isn't, right? I mean, it's, we're always talking about in the SEC. But you start talking about what the roster is going to look like going into August. Are you going to have, you have Congressional Black Caucus, NAACP, talk about those athletes and then alumni and fans of those teams to boycott the team. Like not watch the games, I guess, not and not play for the team. And Congresswoman Sewell retweeted yesterday this from the Congressional Black Caucus, said, Black athletes have helped build college athletics into one of the most powerful and profitable industries in American life. Institutions that profit from black talent and black communities have a responsibility to stand with those communities when their fundamental rights are, and it goes on here, probably, what's it say, are under attack. Silence in the face of injustice is not neutrality, it's complicity. And there it is. So, congressional... You're asking the people to stand with it are kids that have great careers ahead of them. They're going to have to take the, I don't know how long that, we'll see how long this lasts. Let's see. Dirt Digger said, I told Jeff Poor, Sean, you're the Nick Saban of talk radio stations. I know Jeff's an Auburn man. I'm a Crimson Tide man. You have a great station and shows everyone who listens to the station to vote in the nappy for the shows and the station. Thank you. Yes, no redistricting in the nappies. The categories are out there in media. We appreciate your votes. Let's see. Jim in Georgetown also added, and since I've already voted, can someone please tell Harwell to stop sending me voicemail? You know, there were earlier texters that said they were going to vote against everybody who texted them, had a text message or a call. I'm like, gosh, in a lot of these elections, you're going to have to vote against everybody or no one. Because they, yeah, it really started yesterday on my phone. The texts were, instead of being like one or two a day, it was berserko yesterday. Pat says, no young black man in this country is going to be turning down NIL-style money for some NAACP talking head. This could be interesting, right? I mean, you're asking... Man, like the onus, you could say, well, as a fan, I'm not going to watch or whatever. No, the pressure is going to be on these athletes. And they're supposed to take the lick for the, I don't know. Jim and Sim says, this goes nowhere. NIL money trumps boycott. No pun intended. Yeah, so you're kind of on the same page as Pat. You think the NIL money will change that. Plus, they've got only so, you know, the NIL money now, but also while you're best at the game, showing your best at the game, if you're going to go the next level, right, and you're going to play pro, yeah, it's let's see. The unnamed texture says, I think unnamed texture, all people and players will follow the money regardless of race. NAACP sounds racist to me. And let's see. You have to stand, unnamed texture, you have to stand for something or fall for anything. Thank you, John Mellencamp. Great song. But it's on the, it's, it says, what about the kids in the future? I know, but you're putting all this, let's just talk, I mean, let's talk pragmatically versus idealistically, whether I think it's the best move or not. You're putting all that on the kids who have everything to lose in this? Okay. 146, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
152 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Heads up tonight to our election night coverage here on the primary. It started after George Williams' show, so he'll be on 7 to 8. I'm sure he's going to be talking a good bit about it. And then 8 o'clock, it's Jeff, it's Dalton, it's myself. And we've got other folks chiming in from around the state helping us out. So, yeah, check us out starting 8 o'clock tonight with coverage. We should have a lot of I say that. I mean, I get ahead of my skis here. I think we'll have a lot of information on be ready to go with when we come on the air at 8 o'clock. We should have lots of results back. We should. I'm not in control of that, but we should. Also, I was looking at two stories here that, well, we're paying attention to, and like I think this, looking at the text line, this story about Congressional Black Caucus and NAACP talking about the boycott for college sports at the state universities in states that have redistricted is going to get a lot of talk going forward. We haven't, like, Iran's still a thing, right? And looking at what's come out here, I don't think, I know the president's talking about, you know, they're asking for a peace deal. We're so close to a peace deal. But, I mean, just the bombing that's gone on here recently, a drone hits a nuclear power plant on Sunday. I mean, this is big time, not just energy, but possible issues with a meltdown. It did not happen. It did not risk any of that. They said there was a fire nearby and there was no radiological release from this thing. But that to me seems like it's just saying that maybe the deal's not done. And then the president just mentioned something about Cuba earlier. He keeps talking about Cuba. Come on, let's wait here for a second on this. I know I've seen the stories. I mean, the rhetoric coming out of Cuba, it's what you'd expect. I mean, they're not going to go, yeah, we'll lose, you know, Diaz-Canel, the Cuban president, said if the U.S. military conducted an attack, it'd be a bloodbath. They're not going to say, oh, it'd be fine. But let's one thing at a time, right? So how about we don't do that one? That would be one of those things that I'd talk about going into a country that this is my worry about why I've been so worried about boots on the ground in Iran. Even people in Cuba that might feel like they were freed from communism if the United States interact, but you're still from another country and you're going to go try to occupy a country. People, that seems to be lost on people. You could not like the government you have, but another government comes in and takes them out and then they're like occupying your country. It's good. Hopefully we're not short-sighted on that. Let's see. The Motorman says, I don't know how I did it, but I haven't received one text or call regarding the elections, but my wife has. Now, the mailers are another story. Wow. Motorman has not gotten the... So, Motorman, I have your phone number here. I'm going to release it to the political texting companies. Unless you pay me... Be careful. You'll be getting a text like the rest of us every 15 minutes. Michael says, I think they should also boycott eating crawfish and fishing in states that are redistricted. More crawdads for me. Yeah, anything that gets me more crawfish, right? Let's get the price down. Let's get the price down on crawfish. All right, the mailman says, tell me if I'm right or wrong. If a district is drawing where there's more Republicans than Democrats, does that mean that a Democrat can't run for that seat? Or maps just drawing so a chance that a Republican can win over a Democrat? Well, of course, I think you're winking a nudge on this. Correct. It does not say a Democrat cannot run. Absolutely not. It's just they draw the districts where they give an advantage politically. Like, and that part, I don't argue. That's what the Republicans did. Democrats do it in blue states. Republicans here with the map, they're trying to draw a map that gives them the most chances for the most number of Republicans to win. I mean, that's what they're doing. It's not that, and you know, like I said before, it's this idea that, let's say that there would have been a white Democrat in AL2 as previously drawn, and AL7. So the Republicans would do the same thing. It's the Democrat thing that they're trying to draw out. I mean, if they'd been a white Democrat in those two seats, they'd have been drawn out too. Let's see. This unnamed texter who said, what about the kids and their future? Said, yes, it's the kids' future and they have to stand by. To stand my generation have lived our best life. I don't know if you answered the question. My question is, you put all the weight of this on the kids who have the most to lose? And Rita said, probably received pounds of mailers, good riddance. And then, oh, wait, we'll have more for the August election. That's correct. And the runoffs that I think you're going to see here. And I said plural. I think by the time we close things out tonight or tomorrow morning, when everything's semi-official, we'll be looking at more than one runoff in the state of Alabama. So to give you, I mean, we've talked about it before, but okay, voting today, the runoffs for the votes today in the primary will be in June. They're going to give us July off, right? Enjoy the nation's 250th birthday and all that. So we get July off. Then we're back in August. If you're, you know, in these four redistricted areas, you're back in August for the congressional. And then the general in November. So in this year, you go 1, 2, 3, 4 votes. Because you vote today in the primary. Unless I've missed something completely, you're going to be voting in a runoff next month. Then you, like I said, we enjoy July. Come back, we vote again in August in the special election, the congressional, and then November for the general. So, no, you're not done. You're not done at all. We're just getting started. You better plan on, I don't know, another 10, 20, maybe 30 pounds of mailers at your house. That's the nice thing about the political ads that run on FM Talk 106.5. You don't have to throw them away. They don't fill up the trash can. They don't do any of that, right? They're not stuffed in the mailbox to where the mailbox is overflowing. It's a lot more efficient. All right, coming up in just a minute here, Paul Feinbaum will take over. It'll be interesting to hear his take on one of the stories we've talked about. And like I said, we're back in here 8 o'clock tonight for election night coverage. So we'll talk to you then.